Tonight I want to talk a little bit. I'm kind of going to ad-lib this thing. I want to talk a little bit about the soul. Just copied some verses this afternoon about the soul. And we know that the soul is separate than the spirit and the body. So I want to look a little bit about the soul and what happens to a man when he trusts Christ and that type of thing. It's my understanding that back in the day, in fact, I've got something on it here, that the word psyche, as in psychiatrist, psychologist, psychiatry, the word psyche was originally defined as a man's soul. And of course, each generation changes the wording, the usage. And, of course, anything that God's into, they want to get out of and get into something secular and humanist. So here's what one of the old dictionaries said about soul. It says, a spiritual, rational, and immortal substance in man, which distinguishes him from brutes. That part of man which enables him to think and reason, and which renders him a subject of moral government. The immortality of the soul is a fundamental article in the Christian system. Such is the nature of the human soul that it must have a God, an object of supreme affection. And you'll see just about everyone in history who's defined this has defined it somewhat differently. So we'll look to scriptures and just see a little bit about what the scripture says about it. But this is a guy named Carl Jung, J-U-N-G. He wrote on the psyche and archetypes and that type of thing. And he wrote this. He said the word psyche originally meant soul. And then he says, or spirit. But it meant soul. But by the turn of the 20th century, increasingly came to refer to mind. In Jungian psychology, one psyche can be seen as one's psyche can be seen as their total personality and encompasses all of one's thoughts, behaviors, feelings, and emotions. Now, one of the definitions that I think Noah Webster gives is heart, affection. And he quotes the scripture where it says the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Has to do with your being, who you are. Your mind, your affections, the inner you, the inner man. Ephesians 3:16, now we look at a few verses and talk about it. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So there's a separation there of spirit and soul. And we know there's a separation. When Benjamin's mother, Rachel, I've got some names wrong the other night, died in childbirth. The Bible says, as her soul was in departing. So we know that your being, actually who you are, you understand that you're not your body. The body is just a shell for who you are. We know that Peter said, shortly I must put off this mind tabernacle. Said to an inheritance undefiled and incorruptible and that fadeth not away reserved in heaven. So it's separate. And we know when Benjamin was born, that his mother, the Bible says, as her soul was in departing. So that soul departs the body. The real you. The inner man. We know some things that we see from Scripture. And I'm not going to be exhaustive on what I'm talking about tonight. Just want to look at some Scripture and we'll talk about it a little bit. We know from Scripture that the soul is in the same shape as the body. A lot of the Eastern religions, Brother Phil mentioned, some of them define it as a little peanut-shaped something. Others define it as in martial arts, Eastern martial arts, the gi or the chi, whatever they pronounce it, around the navel. Some say around the solar plexus. But according to Scripture, it appears that the soul is the same shape of the body. And I'll read from Revelation 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls." These are souls that he is seeing. John is seeing here in Revelation 6. "I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" Now watch it. Now, you know the context here. He's seeing souls, and these are the souls that are crying out. It says in Revelation 6:11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them," to the souls. They were given white robes, same shape as the body. "And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So that appears that a soul can wear a robe of white. A soul, from Scripture, appears that has all the senses. I had a fellow say one time, I had heard a fellow say that if it don't look good, smell good, taste good, feel good, or what's the other one? Sound good, said, I won't mess with it. And that's where we are today, in the last days. Everything's the word hedonism means someone who's a lover of pleasure. Everything has to be sound good, smell good, feel good, taste good, look good. But according to the passage in Luke 16, you remember the story about the rich man in hell? Now his soul is in hell, and it says this, and in hell, Luke 16:23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, he had eyes, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So he's able to see, he's able to recognize, and has understanding. He understands and sees Abraham far off and sees Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, watch it, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He can feel heat and he can feel cold. For I am tormented in this flame. So that tells you somewhat about the soul. Now the Bible, it talks some about the spirit, four spirits normally identified in Scripture. What verse? I had a verse down, Ecclesiastes 3:21 says, For who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast which goeth downward to the earth? Then it appears that there's an unclean spirit, demonic spirits of the devil. The Bible refers to them as devils or unclean spirits. And there's a Holy Spirit. But looking at this verse, the spirit of a man which goeth upward or the spirit of a beast which goeth down into the earth. For many years, I'd never found a verse that said anything about an animal having a soul. Had a spirit, said the spirit of beast goes down into the earth. Turn with me to, I'm not going to tell you just what this verse says. You do with it what you want to. Numbers 31:28. The Bible says, And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war, which went out to battle. Watch it now. One soul of 500, both of the persons, and of the beeves, and of the asses, and of the sheep. You do with that what you want to. I just know that's what the Scripture says. All right. Now, it's my understanding, and I think Brother Phil, Brother Jeremiah are on the same page with me on this, before a man gets saved, his body and soul and spirit, the soul is stuck to the body. The soul is stuck to the body. Referred to in Scripture as the uncircumcision. That someone, in under Jewish law, someone who wasn't a Jew, and we'll look at that. Circumcision was a picture or a type, a sign. Actually, the Bible refers to it as a sign. Another place, I think, as a covenant. The Jewish circumcision. And it has to do with the new birth and putting off the old flesh. And that separates the soul and spirit from the flesh, where it becomes a new entity under the new birth of Christ. And I'm getting out of the order of my notes, but let me see what I've got here. Son of man, I'm in Ezekiel 42:18. Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth. Nether means down. With them that go down into the pit, whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. Let me keep reading, then we'll talk about it. Ezekiel 32:21 says, the strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Body and soul stuck together. Back in the Old Testament, they would refer to people as the souls. And you would hear it in the last generation. So many souls were lost. Titanic went down, so many souls perished. But the soul stuck to the body. There's a verse that says, my soul cleaveth to the dust. John 7:22. Now we'll look at this uncircumcision where the body and soul is stuck together. And then we'll see that the Jewish circumcision was a picture or a type of something different. It was a picture of the new birth and by putting off of the old flesh. And it had to do with the seed. Thought I'd throw that in. Remember, the Bible said a seed shall serve him. That's a new seed. That's Jesus Christ. A generation for his name. Who generated that seed? Jesus Christ generates it. John 7:22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry with me because I have made man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? That was a between God and the Jew. Watch it. Acts 7:8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. Ain't that quaint? And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Okay, there it's called a covenant in Acts 7. Well, if you go to Romans 4, it's mentioned in Romans 4 and verse 11. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision. Wow. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that normally when the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews were referred to as the circumcision, and the Gentiles were were referred to as uncircumcision, because this sign was given to Israel and not to the Gentiles. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. Wait, where was I? Romans 4:11. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. You heard that before, that Abraham was referred to as the father of all that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. We've talked about that doctrine of imputation that you rarely hear spoken of in many churches. That means that God gave Abraham righteousness, his righteousness, because Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, imputed to him. And that it might be imputed unto them also. All right, let me move on. I've got a verse written down here in Galatians 6, and we'll talk about this thing, the separation of these things. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, Israel, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, Gentile, but a new creature. Now, we're going to see how this all applies in Colossians chapter 2. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this a little while tonight is because if you understand this little passage of scripture in Colossians 2, you'll never spend your night laying awake wondering if you've lost your salvation. And there's a ton of verses that let you know that you cannot lose your salvation. But this is, if you understand this passage, you don't go there. Remember, the Bible says that your Christ perfected forever those who are in him. I forget how that's worded. We also know that Christ is our intercessor. If I could lose my salvation, if you trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, if you could lose it, that would have to mean that Jesus Christ failed as an intercessor. He's never failed at anything he's ever done. Never will. I'm in Colossians 2:11. In whom also you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Okay, this is different. This is something different. It's still referred to as a circumcision, but it's not the Jewish circumcision, which was called a sign, also called a covenant. You know what else was a covenant with Israel? A promised Messiah was a covenant. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And now, is that saying what it looks like? It's saying that there's a type of operation that Jesus Christ does that puts off this body of flesh. And that was pictured when the Jewish children on the eighth day put off the old flesh. Let's read it. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Now let me back up. Buried with him in baptism. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let's not be talking about water. It's talking about the moment you trusted Christ, you were immersed in Christ. You're in Christ, placed in Christ, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. By the same spirit. By one spirit. We're baptized into one body. Same spirit. It's a spiritual operation of God. Buried with him in baptism. Fellow said, well, you believe me? You believe, preacher? You got to be baptized to be saved? I said, yes, I do. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual baptism. Let me move on. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Who does the surgery? God does. I know the last generation say, well, I got to have an operation. Where'd that come? Came from a King James Bible talking about an operation that God does the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, who hath raised him from the dead. Now watch this. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of his flesh, of your flesh, I'll read that again. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Okay. Remember Adam, born with a live body, a live soul, and a live spirit, had the image of God. Let us create man in our image. Body, soul, and spirit. God has a soul. God has a body. God has a spirit. Body of God is Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God has a spirit, the Holy Spirit. God has a soul, God the Father. Let us make man in our image. So Adam had a live body, a live soul, and a live spirit. He had the image of God until he sinned. God, because of that sin, God had to withdraw his image, had to withdraw that spirit from that human being. And now everyone from Adam on says, and Adam begat sons and daughters after his likeness and after his image. And everyone after that fallen image of Adam had a live body, a live soul, but a dead spirit. Where do you come to that conclusion? Well, it said, the day ye eat therein, ye shall surely die. His body didn't die, lived 800 and something years after that. How about his soul? His soul didn't die, because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what died was his spirit. So he's still got a soul. He's got a soul, and you were born with a soul and a body, and your spirit was dead. And your soul is stuck to that body, here referred to as the uncircumcision of your flesh. There's no way that God could indwell you in that sinful flesh. He had to separate it. Let me read on. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Colossians 2, now 13, 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, watch it, hath he quickened together with him. So we're not attached to that body of flesh. I'm crucified with Christ. That body of flesh is nailed to the cross of Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So you're now joined to Jesus Christ. You're bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. You're not part of that old man, that old flesh. You've been cut loose. You've been circumcised from that body of flesh, if you've trusted Jesus Christ. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have quickened together, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wow! Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My, 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 my. Isn't that good? See, if you understand that, if you understand now that the body of flesh is separate, that the new creature is now joined to Christ, the Bible says, for our lives are hid in Christ, hid with God in Christ. We're joined to Christ. When God sees me, he sees the righteousness of his Son. And when he looks at this body of flesh, he sees the sacrifice of his Son. My, that's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. My body of flesh is identified with his sacrifice and is nailed to the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. And Paul said, you need to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And that's what happens. Now you have a dead body, a live soul and a live spirit. That body, this body is going to just about worn out already. It's going to die. This body's going to die unless the Lord comes first. But my soul don't die. My spirit don't die. I was quickened. That means I was made alive again. And this is an incredible thing to understand, that those sins that are the sins of the flesh, Paul said, it's no longer I that sin, but sin that dwelleth in me. Then you won't get all pouty and doubty and think that you've lost it. If you understand this Bible principle and Bible doctrine of the new birth, we're quickened together with Him, with Christ. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Well, how about that verse that said, God will forgive me. If I'm not hot or cold, God will spew me out of my mouth. That's not talking to the church. If He can spew you out of His mouth and you're a church, you're a born-again believer, He'd have to spew Himself out of His mouth because you're part of His body. So now the soul will live forever. So once Christ quickened that soul, and there's a spirit, Brother Gabbard had a real good take on that. Holy Spirit now knits with our human spirit. Is that the way you put it, Brother Phil? And now you've still got a human spirit, but it's knit together with that Holy Spirit. And that soul and spirit is cut loose and become, all things become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then there's that verse that says, that which is born of God cannot sin. What's that talking about? The only thing it can be talking about is the new creature that's part of His flesh and His bones, because it can't sin. What that verse said, that which is born of God cannot sin. We know that the flesh is still full of sin. Don't act like you don't think on sinful thoughts. But it's nailed to the cross, that old body of flesh. I can't wait to get out of this one. I don't want to die tonight. I want to finish my course, run my race, but I want to finish strong for Christ. I'm not worried about dying. Paul said to depart. I have a desire to depart, which is far better. He said that's more needful for you that I stay. You know, I think one of the secrets to long life is make sure somebody needs you. For Christ's sake. My. So if you understand this thing, you won't doubt your salvation. Soul, spirit. A new creature in Christ. You're joined to Christ. Baptized, immersed in Jesus Christ. Man, it's a done deal. God has perfected forever. Went to the Holy of Holies once. He perfected us forever. Blotting out the handwriting, the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. A little bit about the soul. That's who you are. You're the inner man. The seed of your thoughts and emotions. It's sometimes referred to as the heart. That's the heart of who you are. It's that soul. And the day you trusted Christ, God saved that soul. Made the spirit alive again within that soul. And you're a spiritual being now. That old flesh is corruptible. Bible says, for this mortal must put on immortality, and this incorruptible shall put on incorruption. And when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'll close with this. Two different groups of people there. O death, where is thy sting? That's a guy who's alive when Christ returns. Never tastes the sting of death. Never gets the sting of death. He's alive and gets caught up together in the clouds with the Lord. But then that group that's in the grave, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Grave got them, but it isn't going to keep them if they've trusted Christ. I'm done. Everybody stand up.